Welcome to Technology Vault. So this is the dynamic now duo. Don't know if it's going to be trio. We'll see if T-Bone jumps in or not. Yesterday we were kind of doing an experiment with the video cast. Hopefully you guys, can you see me okay, Ian, at all?
Yes, sir. The sun keeps going in and out, so you tend to go silhouette a little bit.
Gotcha. All right. Well, maybe that's a good thing. I got a face for radio anyway. So I don't
have... You got a hairdo for radio this morning.
I got a hairdo for radio. Yeah, no, it's just, it kind of does what it wants. So I just say, screw it. Let's just let it do what it wants. Today, we're just going to kind of go on open format. It's been a weird week for everybody. Everybody lost their Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday pretty much. Today, it was supposed to be apocalyptic rain. As you can see, I'm now being drowned out by the sun behind me. So I don't know. how did you fare with the rain, Mr. Grain?
We had a lot on and off. There doesn't appear to be any street flooding in this area where I am. Although I think further down there was a lot, and that may have been exacerbated by more overnight. So I don't know. I haven't looked at Facebook or anything to see what's happening. So all I know is I can walk down to the mailbox without getting my feet wet.
Yeah, well, no, it's, to me, I can look outside and it's like it never happened. You know, the grass is still oversaturated. So if we did happen to get some sort of serious rain, other than what we had this morning, then yeah, you could see where it would become a problem. But I think most of that in this particular area is over with. I know some areas in Houston and Katy are now getting whatever we were getting as it progressively kind of moved in. But okie dokie. So nothing really new on movie news, nothing really new on hacked news, unless you have something different than you have. I
haven't seen anything since yesterday.
Yeah, no, me neither. So we'll just kind of jump right into the topic. We're just going to kind of keep it easy breezy and off format. Maybe our pirate friend will join us. Maybe he won't. I don't know. Who knows? He's got a kiddo to contend with, and I know he was flooded in Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I don't know. I haven't heard from him. I don't know what happened, if anything new happened, because I know he's right on the edge of Westlake, Houston, and all that stuff. So he's in the bad part of town, like our northern friends are in, like the River Plantation area, which is completely underwater. So it's thankfully we didn't see any of that. Didn't see a lot of that here. However, it did screw it up enough to cut power off at the shop and the warehousing and everything else enough to bring the world to a stop. So we're going to jump into a very spirited conversation. It's kind of weird we, without Tony on board on this one, but maybe he'll jump in. And it's going to skate into the vinyl versus lossless audio, and then Ian and I are actually very much so media server warriors as far as building things like media servers for movies and content and music and things like that, and we're going to jump into some of that quality variation as well. That is a very hot topic online. It's a very argued about topic, just like the topic that Ian and I are going to jump into on the music side of it first. But really the main question, and you see it a lot, is a lot of advocacy for the resurgence in vinyl. You know, vinyl music is kind of making an upswing. A lot of people are holding out thinking Blu-ray and DVD are going to do the same thing. I weigh in a little bit differently on that. What is your thought behind it? You know, what is, do you think vinyl is more of
Well, I was going to get into that.
Hobby indulgence, or is it an advocacy for things that sound better? I mean, what do you think, Ian?
I was going to ask you a couple of questions about that. I mean, I'm a pack rat, so I've still got a cupboard full of vinyl and cassette tapes and CDs. I tend to listen to what everybody listens to because I'm streaming it, because that's easy, because I can just ask what's her face to say, play such and such in such and such a room. And it's like, okay, instant audio.
She's
I
not
don't have.
talented enough to get a record.
Yeah. Plus, my record deck, for want of a better word, it was a cheap Sony from about 2008, 2009. You know, it's not the top quality, but then again, my vinyl's probably not top quality anymore, except for one which I was going to ask you about.
Sure.
So I want to plug the deck in. I'm probably going to plug it in up in the media room, but it's because it's that vintage, it's only got phono output. All the ones you see today, I looked at them yesterday on like Amazon, everything comes with Bluetooth output or USB output or whatever, but I haven't got that. So what's my best bet? Plug the phono straight into the Weem Pro line input.
So the problem with, so it's a great question. So USB output on a phono is made for cataloging, not necessarily listening. So if you were to plug that USB output into your QNAP or into your PC, you could take, theoretically, you could take a vinyl, set it on the platter, start the vinyl, and make a recording. I almost said record off a record, a record recording off of your record and digitize said recording for either hard drive storage or consumption. So that's why those have USBs. Now, turntables that have Bluetooth are a little bit different of an animal. It depends on the Bluetooth. So it depends on if it's Bluetooth broadcasting or Bluetooth receiving. Bluetooth receiving would be kind of weird, but Bluetooth broadcasting would make sense because you could pair it up to an AV receiver or a pair of headphones for private listening and whatnot. Now, does your turntable have a built-in preamp? Like, does it have a button on the back of it for preamplification?
I don't think so. I haven't even looked at it. It's sat up in the floor on the floor in the media room. I just haven't got around to working out. I'm gonna have to move a couple of things around. I'm probably gonna put it on the shelf where the old my old Windows media PC is still sat from donkey's years ago,
Right.
from using a cable card tuner to get me the TV up there, which was a going back a long, long time, but it just needs moving out of the way. It's prehistoric. And so I thought, okay, I'll put the deck on there.
Right. So
That's
Sonos.
right by the Weem and the Sonos and the 70 volt amp. I mean, at the end of the day, it's only gonna feed into that amp and come out mono round all the speakers in the house. I'm not looking to, you know, get any kind of quality stereo effect from it, but I
It's
can.
more of about nostalgia and being able to play your vinyl across.
But I could also, being there, I could plug it into that receiver up in the media room and play it through the surround sound, which would give it obviously a better quality and makes it into a listening room, which you were talking about the other day. Should you have a listening room and a media room, or should you?
Right. And
Well,
we can get into that too. But yeah, no, that's exactly what we were referencing for sure.
but my questions, I mean, obviously I'm talking about you know, a very basic deck with a arm with not much, there's no adjustments on it for, you know, counterweight balance or side to side movement or anything like that, like all the fancy ones you've got. It's just a simple down, let it down, it plays. When it gets to the end, it lifts up and goes back. But as I said, it's only got phono output. Well, I could feed the phono into, I guess, a Y cable and send it to the receiver and to the other stuff. So
So I'm digging through. I'm not looking at the camera at the moment. I'm digging through the Weem settings. I do know that Sonos, so for turntables that do not have preamplification, meaning it doesn't have a phono pre for boosting line level, I do know that Sonos has a line input adjustment to where you can use that for a turntable if it doesn't have preamplification. So for those that don't know why turntables need that. So, in fact, Ian and I were kind of getting into that before we recorded, was that turntables naturally output about 70 dB worth of signal strength, meaning in most cases, it's going to be 20 to 30% quieter than your normal source, whether it be a streamer, whether it be a CD player, whether it just doesn't matter. It's just a quieter format, which is why a lot of the turn, even the cheaper turntables, have preamplification built in. So all it does is it adjusts that dB gain that's going into your signal. If it does have that, then yes, you could hook it to your WEM Pro. If it does not have that, then you could hook it into your Sonos because Sonos has that built into their EQ or their line input EQ.
so that kind of suits my high-tech redneck setup where I've got Sonos feeding into the Weem Pro through the optical
Yep.
and the other side of it, obviously, it's through what's coming over the network from Amazon Music or whatever.
Right.
But if something's coming from Sonos, the Weem Pro detects there's a signal and switches to that line input, optical line input. So if I plug the deck into the Sonos and start playing a record, then that's going to send a signal through all the way through. It's going to get to where it's supposed to go. But you're saying it will have been preamped in the Sonos.
Correct. Well, you can adjust the line input preamplification within some, the Sonos app. Yes. And that's been a thing since generation one Sonos. I mean, they've had that for a long, long time.
So that's another experiment to while away the hours.
Right. So, and here's the other thing. If you decide that you don't want to go upstairs to change your vinyl and whatnot, then Victrola. Yes, the same Victrola that everybody has heard of from 100 years ago. Victrola has a turntable that drops right into the Sonos ecosystem wirelessly. So you could literally, I wouldn't do it because you have cats, but you can literally put your turntable on your kitchen counter and broadcast via the Sonos network to all the things wirelessly. And it actually has built-in AirPlay 2 as well, but it predominantly works with made to work with Sonos. It's a really good turntable. It actually has a carbon fiber tone arm and comes with a decent cartridge. And the thing about, in comparison to what you have versus a Victrola or a Thorns or Technics or whatever you're using, is that Sonos has a Sony. In most of their models had a proprietary cartridge, meaning you have to use a Sony cartridge. You can't just hook up, you can't upgrade it in any way, shape, or form. But for your experiment, it probably will work the way you need it to.
Well, it's not like my vinyl's particularly pristine. I mean, some of it's many, many decades old, probably,
Right.
but I did have a question about that because
Sure.
thinking about like vinyl. And the other day we were talking about how long do we expect Blu-rays to last? How long do we expect CDs to last? Well, how long do you expect vinyl to last if you play it a lot? I mean, I've got some old 45s that are so scratchy, whatever, you'd never lose all that background noise if you tried to convert it. But anyway, I have a box set of Queen albums called, it was called The Complete Works, and it came out just about the time that the Works album came out. They've never been played ever. So should I not play them ever and just let them accumulate as an item of value? I mean, if I play them, does that reduce their value if I decide I wanted to try and sell them on eBay or somewhere? Or if I just play them a couple of times, is that going to degrade the vinyl? Does it mean, I mean, they've never been out of the sleeves. Does it mean once they're out of the sleeves and in an environment where they're going to pick up dust, that that's kind of made them less than what they were when they were first produced?
And how old, what was the production of this album? Do you remember what the production was of the box set?
40 years ago, next year.
So there's a couple form factor. Tony would actually weigh in better on this than I can, but I'll do my best Tony impression. There's several form factors to value as far as, and this goes to comic books and cards and music and instruments and things like that. It depends on how it was stored. It depends on if it was, because some people can say, okay, I've got a 1984 version of Van Halen 1984, but I kept it in storage without climate control. Well, good chance that's probably not going to hold its value. So every vinyl, even Tony being the vinyl connoisseur that he is, every vinyl that, regardless of whether it's brand new or not, is warped. It's just what happens to vinyl. It doesn't mean that it doesn't play, doesn't mean that it won't play nicely. It just means that it's just part of the nature of the format. So if this was for stored in a vertical situation in a climate controlled environment, I would say it's worth every bit that it was. Well, it's definitely worth more than it was when you bought it because it was affordable when you bought it. It's probably not as affordable now. But yes, that would be a collector's item. Now, value means it's only going to be worth, my dad used to say a long time ago, something's only going to be worth what some Looney Tunes going to pay for it. So, however, there are blue books out there for this particular type of item where you can find what the general value of it is worth. So there's a few things that affect value, and you have to take sentimental value out of the equation because records and vinyl in general have a very drawing blood, heck or high water, staunch following. And so there are some records that are worth an absolute lot of money. Like when I found a copy of Appetite for Destruction, Guns N' Roses, which isn't that old of a record, was 1989, but it was an original pressing that was used at a radio station. I paid 150 bucks for it. It's worth now probably $250 to almost $300, even played, because it's in pristine condition. It was a non-resale copy, meaning it didn't have a barcode on it. It was a promotional copy that was sent with special artwork on it that wasn't to be adopted by the masses because it was a very non-PC friendly cover.
Yeah, I don't think I'm looking at a huge increase in value over what it was bought for,
I
but
mean, what did you buy it for back then? Probably
I
50.
honestly can't remember. I think it was actually a Christmas gift, but
So what I
I
would do is check on eBay first. Like, look on
yeah.
eBay. Is it going to be worth more sealed? Absolutely, it will.
It's not sealed, it's open. I've had, you
Oh,
know,
well,
I've
then don't worry about it. Play it to your heart's content. As long as you take care of your records and make sure to dust them before they go back in the case and things like that, and it's worth risking whether you're getting gonna scratch it or not, then I would play away if it's already been opened, and
The box, yeah, the box was open. It has other things in it as well as the albums. The other thing that I found out about it yesterday when I had a quick look was that it was actually digitally remastered in 1985 from the original pressings or tapes or whatever they
So it's not
recorded
an
from.
original, it was already a remast then, correct?
Yeah, so it's like the first 11, 12 albums digitally remastered, and I don't know what that meant 40 years ago.
And that was Queen?
Yeah.
What album?
The box set is called The Complete Works. You talked about storing vertically. The box has always been stored horizontally, so the discs are just laying on top of each other.
Yeah, move that up. You want to move that up. I actually learned that from Tony, just because I'm a baby when it comes to vinyl, or toddler when it comes to vinyl. So here it is, the C Queen Complete Works Quality Near Mint 1985 LT Edition 14 LP box set, $627.
Okay.
And then here's another one for 495, 501. So you're anywhere from between $400 to $700 in the condition they're in.
Yeah. I
What
mean, I don't
they're selling.
necessarily, I don't know that I want to play them to listen to them, except to listen to the quality maybe once and compare
Right.
them to the original vinyl, which I've got as well,
Yeah.
or at least
Yeah, the
from.
reason why you want to store those upright is because when you store them flat, the weight of the top disc presses down on the whole set, and
Yeah.
then that's what can warp everything below the top disc. Now, when you store them upright, then the weight is evenly distributed in per disc, and it's not pressing down on the stuff that's down below. That's why you always want to store them this way instead of that
Probably a bit late for that. They've probably been like that for 15 years.
way. Well, could be. I mean, but nobody knows that. I mean, I'm looking at a one on eBay for sale that literally shows them sitting on a shelf just like the way yours are sitting at the moment, and they're asking $400. But most vinyl collectors will know that, okay, that's not how you would want to store them, so they'll probably pass that up in relation to some of these where, I mean, it's just a picture, but you know, that's probably the first one of the first questions you'll get from that. Now, here's another interesting thing about that. If you open that set, which you have, you'll find it'll say Queen the Works. You'll see the black and white covers on each disc. Those discs are selling from anywhere from $60 a piece per disc to $45 a piece for disc. So it's actually pretty interesting the way some of these people are selling this particular set. Here's another set called the Studio Collection, and that's 180 gram colored vinyl.
That's a lot newer.
Yeah, that's a newer one, but it's still selling for $400. So the older set will probably sell easily between that $500 to $700 mark, just because of the age. You know, just because
Yeah.
people are searching, and especially right now, there's this vinyl frenzy that's out there where everybody's going into these vinyl stores and, you know,
Yeah.
jumping bins and looking for them. I have kind of a hookup at one of our local vinyl shops that if she gets anything cool, she'll hit me up first, and right now I haven't bought anything, but just because I'm watching money in different ways instead of leaving my pocket. But that's how I came about that Guns N' Roses album, because she knew I was a huge Guns N' Roses fan, huge rock fan in general, and she asked if I was interested, and before she had me at hello before it even left her finished the sentence.
Yeah.
Yep, I'll take it, you know, type of thing.
Well, I think I probably stopped buying vinyl at some point, but I was still buying it in the same way that I buy CDs now, even though you can stream all this stuff. It's like, yeah, I still want to buy that CD.
Yeah.
And in some cases, and I was looking at one yesterday, like I like Nickelback. Some of us idiots do, but their latest.
I think Nickelback's awesome. Yeah, no, I have no
Their
problem.
latest,
Why does everybody hate Nickelback? Why,
I don't know,
what?
because they're Canadian, eh?
Oh. Oh.
Anyway, their latest album called Get Rollin', something like that. I bought it like on CD rather than just stream it, even though I can stream it in Ultra HD from Amazon in the car, wherever I am. But I bought the CD. It had bonus tracks on it, which were acoustic versions of three of the songs, which is, a benefit, a bonus. But when I looked yesterday, you can buy a 12-inch transparent vinyl on Amazon for $20.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and I thought, well, why am I not still buying vinyl? Well, because I haven't got a record player set up, and it's not the easiest thing to do and stop and listen to something when you do that. And because if you're going to do that, you're just going to sit down and listen to it and absorb it and not have any distractions. Whereas most of the time these days, we all listen to music almost as background, even though, whatever it is, we're doing other stuff all the time. We're constantly busy. So it's like, no, I'm going to have to take the time to stop, sit down, turn the lights down, put the music on in the media room, whether I'm just playing it stereo or through all the however many speakers are up there, and just listen to stuff like that. And one day I might get as attuned to it as you are, but at the minute I'm just a consumer. Listen to it.
So my fascination with vinyl was just it reminded me a lot of my old that I used to have Blu-ray collection, and it was the thrill of the hunt and
Yeah.
finding such animal and digging through bins and bins and bins of dusty copies of Neil Diamond and all
Yeah.
these records that you probably wouldn't want, Bette Midler and all this weird stuff. And then you'd come across, oh, here's Poison, open up and say, ah, or oh, hey, here's Metallica, blah, blah, blah. And it was kind of the thrill of the search is what created it for me, not necessarily that it was a superior format or a better format or, but it was me just being a fan of that artist. And I enjoy the artwork. I enjoy the tangibility of it. I enjoy, in some weird way, you feel like you're connected to that artist in a way when you buy something with their name on it, and even though
Well,
if
it's and
you're
it's
buying it
not
secondhand, they're not making any money off of it, but
it's not just the music and the quality of it. I mean, I've got an original copy of Dark Side of the Moon vinyl 12-inch with all the posters, stickers, everything still in there. You
right.
know, that must be some minor kind of collector's item as well now, but
So I have The Wall from Kevin. I have Dark Side of the Moon from Kevin's collect. Because when Kevin left us the store, I
okay.
with all of his vinyl. In fact, I called him and said, "Hey, do you want some of this stuff?" And then he was like, "No, I don't want any of that stuff." So, I gave
Okay.
some of it to his kids when he passed away, and then kept some of it for my the part the rec the vinyls that he and I searched for together were
Yeah.
the ones that I kept. So the Beatles White Album, which was an original Beatles White Album, he has an original Abbey Road, which
Yep.
was awesome that I haven't played. And I wish I was more of a Beatles fan than I was. I appreciate as a musician what the Beatles did for the industry, but it wasn't, I was probably too young to really appreciate what they really did as far as the culture phenomenon in America that they created, which is why there's such a giant fascination with them. But I have several of those vinyls. I have a Trace Ombres 1978 pressing of Trace Ombres that's older than dirt, probably not worth anything, but it's one of the best sounding versions of that song of LaGrange, that's their popular song,
Yep.
happens to be on that album. Even better than the new Greatest Hits album that was released, because it just sounded better. It's the way they mixed it back then. Music in general went through a transition as we got into the CD world and as we got into the now digital streaming world, where record labels, it was called the loudness war, and record labels would intentionally make tracks louder so they would catch your attention. And obviously you would sit there and listen to him. And that became a big thing in the streaming world and the CD world more so than the vinyl world, which is another check mark for vinyl. Why a lot of purists appreciate vinyl is because the track hasn't been manipulated, so to speak, when it was pressed onto that vinyl, because there's certain, as you and I talked about, there's certain frequencies that it attends to. But I got into my vinyl fascination just out of pure collecting things. It wasn't necessarily it being an amazing format.
No, I mean, when I started back in the 70s, it was cassettes or vinyl, and
Right.
initially I went with cassettes because I couldn't put a vinyl player in the car, and I listened to a lot of music in the car. So at one point my car got broken into and all my cassette tapes stolen, so I had to replace them, and I ended up buying vinyl instead. So which is how I ended up with, I've got vinyl on the wall because my cassette was stolen, but amongst others. But I've got my original Queen. When I started buying Queen, which was the first one I bought, was the third album, which is Killer Queen. And immediately on listening to that, I went back to the store and bought Queen 1 and Queen 2 on cassette. And then subsequently after that, I decided to like Night at the Opera was vinyl, everything's vinyl. I've got the 40th anniversary on vinyl. I even bought one not long ago, well, not long ago in my lifetime situation, but I think it was like, I can't even remember what it's called now. Queen Rocks, I think it was called, but I opted. I bought the 180 gram version because I wanted something that was going to be a bit more durable and sound better. So, and I've only played it once, I think, but it's like I still listen to all that stuff on the radio. So it's not like I'm desperate to rehear those songs, but the quality, I remember the quality going back to those early ones, to me seemed a lot better.
It
There's a
is. It actually was a lot better.
There's one particular song. I mean, my brain's decaying, so I don't remember which album it was on, but it was
Weird. It's the gravitational pull from your.
yeah, it's the Santa Effect. The Queen song, Somebody to Love, right? Now, if you listen to that on the original, like on the vinyl that I've got, there's parts of the song where the sound hasn't been matched. I can listen to it on the radio, I can listen to it on CD, and it gets to near the end of the song where Mr. Mercury does some really high-pitched long notes and runs, and it's like you don't get that almost tangible feeling. You just hear the sound, but it's the same sound, but you don't feel the effect that the sound had on you when you first listened to it on a medium that seemed to amplify that effect. Hard to explain, but that's my particular example.
There's a reason for that. The one that's not placebo, that's not a fake feeling. So when you compare vinyl to tape, so this is what I found fascinating, is that the low frequency cutoff on a tape is around 50 hertz, which means you're not getting any information below 50 hertz. Now, the high frequency cutoff on a tape is right around 46 hertz, which is very similar to vinyl, meaning you're getting a lot of high frequency, you're getting a lot
Kilohertz or hertz?
of kilohertz. So 45, so 45 kilohertz. So it would cut off at 50 hertz. And it would go up all the way to 45 kilohertz on the high frequency side, meaning it cut off just before vinyl cuts off on the high side, but vinyl dipped way low on the low side. So vinyl did in fact sound better than tape. Now there was a lot of hokey pokey jargon that a lot of folks were using, like Nakamichi Dragon tape decks and things like that, that had better motoring systems in them and better needles that actually engage the tape and stuff like that. And allegedly, you'd get about 10% more out of your tape. I don't know if that's true or not. I would actually have to talk to somebody I wish Kevin, this is one of the subjects that I wish Kevin was still alive for, because Kevin would, he used to tweak Nakamichi decks and turntables in a broad spectrum, so he could fill you in, he could put you to sleep with that information. But if you go look at vinyl cuts off at 30 hertz on the low end, and then on the high end it cuts off at 50 kilohertz. So everything you're saying, or everything you just said, is actually dead on accurate. Their vinyl sounded better than tape. So when you played it on a vinyl in comparison to that same copy on a cassette, it would sound better. And there's a reason that you were feeling things and experiencing things more via the record than you were the tape or the cassette.
Yeah, and the kind of record player I was playing these on back then was like nothing compared to what you can get these days. Even the one I've got now is probably 10 times better. So
Right.
that's part of my experiment. I want to just put these things on, listen to them. But it's like everything else. It's we're making ourselves antiquated by sticking with these things to some degree.
Well, you
But
see that. Yeah,
I've
but
gotten to. Once the vinyl seemed to be on the decline, and CDs were a lot more popular. And then I ended up buying another Queen box set called The Crown Jewels,
okay.
which was CDs, but they were like had the original art cover sleeves in. But there were only like, I think, 10 in the box, 12 in the box, whatever it was. So it wasn't much more in terms of content. But as time went on, I found and I became quite enthusiastic collector of Japanese imports of those kind of CDs that came with the original art cover sleeves. And so I've got a whole collection of those now, and they've even got something on called an Obi strip, which is, and they're in a cellophane package. And I mean, the original box that had those CDs in is now stacked full of special CDs like that. So I've got that as big a collection, and obviously it doesn't take up any room, whereas the big box of discs takes up a lot of room. Not that I'm worried about it, but it's like, what's the point in keeping all of it?
So
Is
here's
anybody
the
else going to enjoy it when I'm not going to enjoy it? It's like, I might as well, if it's got value, realize the value and move on.
So the interesting part about CD, and I know this was a hot topic yesterday, but the interesting part about when CD was first released, the low frequency can dip as low as 2 hertz, meaning it will dip into the lower bass register in a way that vinyl can't. And it's impossible for vinyl to do. Now, here's the interesting part, and this explains a lot of the vinyl enthusiasts' belief in the quote unquote warmer sound of vinyl. When the original CDs were released, they stopped right around 22 kilohertz. So vinyl did actually have more information on the high side than CD, but CD had more information on the lower register than vinyl did. Vinyl struggles with the lower register because there's a lot of things that happen with lower frequencies, and you get the dreaded warble from your turntable because of the way sound waves emit and whatnot. But when CD first came out, the reason why it was referred to as cold is because here's the brain buster for me, because if you look at vinyl comparison to CD, CD plays lower. It plays in the lower register. However, vinyl plays more accurate than the first generation CD. And that's the interesting part. But is it a misconception that it's, I
I
don't
don't know.
understand where the term warmer comes from, because in all
Well,
technicality, CD plays lower.
you're probably getting into the let's piss off Tony realms. So
It could be, but
go back to what I was asking earlier. What's the
sure.
best way to clean vinyl so that you know, I mean, obviously, if it's constantly you get a disc out into an environment that's not going to be like an Intel clean room, you're never going to get rid of dust.
No,
And
that's
what
part of the
sort of
problem with vinyl is that dust actually settles in the grooves, and that's what causes the snap, crackle, pop that you're hearing is the dirt and the dust between
Yeah,
the
so
grooves.
there's obviously lots of solutions for cleaning vinyl, brushes, cloths, anti-static sprays, all sorts of microfiber pad things. I mean, which is the best to try and
That's actually, I would probably weigh in on Tony for that, just because there's, I'm such a new toddler when it comes to vinyl. But there's been the brush, the brush method where you spray it with solution, and then you let your turntable go, and then you hold the brush down as it's spinning. The actual best way to clean your vinyl, in my humble opinion, would be the ultrasonic cleaning systems. And that would
right.
be Project makes them, RPM Hardware makes them. You can get them on Amazon as low as $75. That would be the spin clean. I don't know how well those work in comparison. If it were me, I think I would get something that's made by a turntable company, being Project. Yes, they're going to be more expensive. They're about $500. But if you're talking about a record set with the value of $700, I wouldn't put it on a $30 vinyl cleaner. Now, back in the old days, you used to have something called the Vinyl Buddy that was actually made by Thorns. In fact, I still have Kevin's original Thorns Vinyl Buddy. I bought a new one. They look exactly the same. They haven't changed anything about it. But the ultrasonic cleaning method, if you're trying to get all the dust that gets caked in those grooves, meaning if you're one of those guys that leaves a vinyl on a turntable and just sets the cover down, dust is still going to accumulate underneath that. But you can find a lot of those. Like right now, here's an ultrasonic cleaner on sale for $105. It was normally $389. To your point, it's another avenue that you have to store things. It's another avenue. I mean, this is not a big mach small machine. It's a larger machine that has to hold the vinyl upright. So Project keeps the vinyl horizontally, meaning the same way it sits on a turntable. A lot of these ultrasonics turn the vinyl up like this, or in a horizontal fashion, meaning they think they can get the dust out of the grooves in a better fashion. There's been some controversy about that, whether turning it up like this or holding like this. A lot of vinyl purists feel that if you hold the vinyl like this and dust it, then you're just basically wiping the dust further into the grooves, which is
Yeah.
why your higher end ultrasonic cleaners will want to hold them in a vertical array. If it were me, I would be looking for one that holds it in a vertical array. I don't know where Tony would weigh in on that. But in my opinion, I would make it. I used to do a lot of disc doctoring. 100 years ago, I worked at a video game store, and we had a polisher that would actually polish video game disc, which was the equivalency of a CD in a
Yeah.
lot of ways, or a DVD in a lot of ways. And that machine also held it in a vertical array, even though that didn't matter as much. There's not grooves on a CD or a Blu-ray like there is on a record. So in my opinion, the more effective way would to be hold it, find one that holds it upright, but it would be the ultrasonic method, is why, as opposed to just wiping it. To me, if you get something that's even more foreign or harsh than dust, and you're trying to clean it with that brush, you have a chance of actually scratching your record even more. And but you also want to make sure your records are continuously clean, because then that affects your cartridge and gets the needle through.
Well, I vaguely remember having even some kind of little brush thing that attached to the end of the arm, but I don't suppose that that's
So
probably not a good
Project
idea.
does that method. Yeah, Project kind of does that method, except now Project has their standalone machine. But most of these machines that will do ultrasonic cleaning for records, Tony and I have actually discussed bringing one of these machines into the store to clean people's records. It typically run from $100 to about $300, and then they just kind of go on from there. And they range, but most of the higher rated versions of this machine are holding them upright, is what they're doing. Now, there's another cool machine out there called the vinyl press, which can help warped records. And
Yeah.
it looks kind of like one of those pizza bags that you put it in, and it literally heats up the vinyl, or heats up the record.
I've done that with CDs as well.
Yeah, no, I mean, so I didn't know you could warp a CD. Can you warp a
Yeah,
CD?
CDs can get warped. And if you just put it on a flat surface, like a kitchen counter type surface, and pour boiling water on it, it will flatten.
Would you like to know a fun fact about vinyl?
Absolutely, as we're in the vinyl edition.
Right. So the closer the song is on the outer banks of the vinyl, the songs that they put on the furthest part of the record
Have better
actually
fidelity.
sound better than the ones that are on the closer. So if you notice how that's actually affected the order of songs record labels chose when they
It's a
were
form
building
of
an album. Yeah, because
compression.
that's why when you go to Appetite for Destruction, that's you could tell it's like my prized possession, because it's a metaphor for my life is an appetite for destruction. Welcome to the Jungle is the first track, which is one of their hottest tracks. And then, Sweet Child of Mine's right in the middle of there. But then as it starts to end on the first side, it's kind of one of their what they would call their B track. And that's how a lot of the ordering was set up for when they were creating albums like that. It was so I just thought it was interesting as I was kind of stumbling into my what sounds better tour of crazy in my brain. So
Because I think CDs record from the inside out. And
correct. Video games as well.
subsequently, the speed of the track under the laser is slower in the middle to when the laser gets all the way to the outside, and that is going faster. Because if you rip a CD, you will see the speed increase as it moves through the tracks. So you might start at two times whatever, and but by the time you get to the end, you're up to whatever the max of the CD drive is, which could be 64 times.
The other thing is you'll see where your burn line, if you're burning a CD and you're not filling up a disc, you'll see where your burn mark started. But on a video game and a DVD, where it's the machine or whatever you're playing it into gets its metadata from, is that very internal ring that you'll see that has a slightly darker discoloration in comparison to the rest of the disc. And that's where it's getting the name, it's getting the hey, I want to skip to this track. Or and so a lot of the newer CD players, or even your car CD player, even if you put an old CD in that, this was technology that was really cart before the horse even existed, is you can pull an original CD from 30 years ago and throw it in your current car CD player, if it has one. Most of them don't, but you can put it in a normal CD player and it'll tell you the name of the artist and it'll tell you all of that metadata. That metadata exists even back then, because they kind of knew that it's like they had a better trajectory of where it was going. CD eventually turned into about the midway point of CD, which was interesting enough, right about the death of CD a few years later, was they went up it, so they still dipped into the lower register of 2 hertz, but they went up to 44.1 kilohertz, and meaning vinyl still had more information than the CD on the higher register, but the CD still had information on the lower register. So it's quite interesting, you know. So Tony wasn't completely off base. However, if you're a bass head or you enjoy low frequency and mid frequency and the way that sonic impacts you, then you will probably lean more toward streaming or disc CD than you will vinyl, because vinyl does not have information in the lower register. The information is there, but the way that medium and format works is it cannot dip into the lower register. Kevin used to talk about this even back in the day, where he was talking about the overture symphony, you know, where it had 1812 overture. So there was a track in that for the cannons, right? Because they used to fire cannons on this track. And if you looked very carefully, you could see the track for the cannons because it was so abnormally different on that song or on that pathway of that song where that track hit in because of the lower register, because it
I
would make.
used to have that. I don't know that I've still got it, but
I
I had
think I
that.
still have it. Yeah, I think I still have his copy of it. He was showing me that when he started bringing vinyl back into the store, shortly, probably 4 or 5 years before he died. And he was kind of he was he to watch him in relation to vinyl was just like a child. You know, there was just an excitement in his eyes because he just knew so much more about it. And you could tell that was totally his wheelhouse. Why he ever got out of vinyl, I don't know. I guess because it wasn't as popular in the 2012, 2015 days as it is now. Because now it's everywhere. Now they have total stores dedicated to it. So, but going into the lossless audio category, meaning streaming audio category, which is the category that gets pooped on a lot because it's now new and foreign, not really foreign, but new. So in comparison, lossless audio will go from 2 hertz, so same as CD, better than tape, better than vinyl, and it will go up to 192 kilohertz into the upper registry, which you can't even hear that anyway. However, you can feel it. That's the interesting part. So it literally is completely uncompressed, completely, there is no limitation to that particular format. It doesn't have a lifespan. It doesn't have a shelf life. It, you know, that's the thing, because it's there unless the streaming companies decide they don't want to do it anymore. But that's the only shelf life and limitation that it would have in comparison to your vinyl or your CD. So pretty interesting stuff.
Well, one day it's going to be, is the cloud always going to be there? You never know what's going to happen given,
My prediction is the cloud is not safe. It's can be hacked. It's probably already hacked. And eventually, it's kind of like the lead pot theory, you know, back when everybody was using lead pans and lead pots to cook in and bake in and things like that. And they found out that, oh, well, that crap gives you cancer. It's going to kill you, which it did to, unfortunately, a lot of folks. And or lead paint, you know, same thing, or asbestos. I have a feeling it's one of those things we got to experience it, and we're like, oh, we really screwed up before we start taking that stuff down.
And the more chemistry that people apply to things these days, the more chance there is of some of the side effect from chemicals and whatever. And it's been the same through history. I mean, BPA in plastic and stuff like that. It's like, oh, suddenly everybody decides that a particular byproduct of oil and gas plastic is, oh, suddenly this is bad for you. And but then again, you've got just about everything you buy has a thing on it that says, known to the state of California to cause cancer.
Right. Right. Well,
So,
everything. Yeah, everything has a sticker now that says will cause cancer by the yeah. No. Yeah. No, and that's a thing.
well, there's a thing to be said for having things hard copy, but are those blue plastic cases really safe that Blu-rays come in? Who knows?
Oh, well, so the interesting part about why they make them blue wasn't actually, it was kind of a marketing thing because it was Blu-ray, but it was to block light from it. And it was, it's kind of like when you take a Corona beer versus a Bud Light or a Miller Light or whatever, pick your poison. Corona is in a clear bottle. Therefore, it deteriorates faster because the UV light deteriorates the beer, whereas the darker bottle doesn't deteriorate as fast, has a longer shelf life, and Corona still does it anyway, which is why they call it the skunky beer a lot. But the formats are very similar. You know, formats are very similar to that. Vinyl is probably one of the most fragile just because of the grooves and the dust and things like that. But they keep those completely covered. I've found that I need to have somebody show me how to put it in the sleeve because it seems like that's when I always scratch my record is putting one in the bloody sleeve that's too tight in comparison that's not too tight.
Yeah.
It seems like that's
Well,
all the thing. But in reality, though, vinyl plays quieter. It has a lower dB gain. It has a higher threshold for harmonic distortion, which means it's noisier, meaning you hear the hiss and the snaps and crackles and pops more, which is kind of, and then when you have to increase gain, you're going to hear the hiss more. But I would say whether it's the dominant superior, I would say that's opinion. I wouldn't say that looking at my data, looking at the math of how frequency works and harmonic distortion works, and you know, CD is a lower harmonic distortion format. Streaming is a lower harmonic distortion format, means it plays cleaner, it plays quieter, and it has a louder dB gain when playing it and keeps that harmonic threshold down. Now, hot rotting your cartridge out will make a difference, 100% make a difference when playing vinyl. And whatnot. In fact, if you have collectible vinyl like you're talking about, I would upgrade my cartridge because cartridge, not because necessarily just for sound quality, because of the way it goes into the groove of the record for longevity purposes. A cheaper needle is the worst thing you can do for a vinyl. That doesn't mean you got to go buy a needle that where you got to get a second mortgage on your house or your car. It just means I would say stick between $150 to $500 needle is the sweet spot for the ones that aren't going to hurt your vinyl. Tony can weigh in on that as well. There's a difference between broadhead and point, you know, and there's a oval shaped needle and a really pointy needle and all kinds of different methodologies for playing your stuff. But for the lazy ones like me, streaming is actually a convenient format. But according to the math and what I'm seeing, vinyl is not warmer than streaming. It's just more of a weapon of choice, is what it is. So,
I think there's somebody at my door. I need to take a quick break.
go for it. We'll pause.
Okay.
So we're back online with Ian. He was actually just showing me his turntable. It actually does have a built-in preamp. So you can use it with just about anything laying around the house that amplifies two speakers. So, and that's why they build turntable. That's why they build preamp or turntables with pre's. In a lot of cases, even the higher end ones will have pre's, even though most people like to use outboard preamps. There's some lore and craziness when it comes to which preamp to buy, and some people use tube preamps, and all kinds of craziness that you can jump into on the vinyl section of Jenny. So,
Okay, so
go ahead.
the switch that I found under the actual platter, aluminum and rubber top thing
Aluminium.
says set the EQ amp on or off switch according to the amplifier connection. So it's currently set to on, but what should I set it to if I say plug it into that Sonos? Off.
Well, if you keep it on, then you don't need to go modify your line input on either the WHIM or the Sonos. Doesn't matter.
Okay.
If you find that it if you leave it on and it becomes incredibly distorted or oversaturated, then turn it off. And then because that means there's already a phono input engaged. Sonos, you have to manually engage that phono pre. And WHIM did not, WHIM was a little cryptic when it was talking about the phono preamp. But it didn't seem like they had it, and it seemed like they were encouraging you to use a phono pre of some sort, whether it be coming off your turntable or off of something else. You can leave it, and I would say if your preferred method is to hook it up to the WHIM Pro or WHIM Pro, then you plug it into that first with that engaged, and it should do just fine with what you're trying to do.
Okay, and you think, do you think I should get a new cartridge before I, or needle before I
So
start playing anything?
those Sonos or crap, Sony turntables came with an Audio-Technica cartridge, which is just basic, your basic run-of-the-mill cartridge. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing special about it. But yeah, you could definitely bring it into the turntable doctor, and we've got several cartridges laying around the shop where he can throw a different cartridge on it. Does it have two screws?
It doesn't have any screws, so I can tell.
It just engages and disengages, or it just pops in.
Oh, I'm just looking. I think it's got, it just kind of pulls out, mechanically pulls down, but then there are four wires which appear to be
Yes,
soldered.
that would go into your new cartridge. Yeah, so I would either go with an Ortofon or a Gold Ring, either green or purple, and kind of go from there is what I would do. The Audio-Technica is not a bad cartridge. It's just a basic what they throw on a lot of different a lot of your turntables, even high-end turntables, they throw them on that just because it's a cartridge.
Right. Okay. Well, I don't know how it comes up. It doesn't just unplug. It appears to be soldered.
Well, those four wires will actually come unplugged from the back of that
Oh.
piece, and then you plug, and then the new cartridge will have those same terminals or connectors, and then it plugs into that. So
Oh, they look like soldered connections, but
they
I could be.
might be. I know some Sony turntables are proprietary. They had proprietary cartridges. Everything that I'm reading on the manual says that you can change it out on the reviews and whatnot. I'm seeing that it can be swapped out, but I'm not seeing anything that makes me feel otherwise. I do know there have been some Sony turntables that we ran into where you had to use their cartridge on that particular turntable. That would be more of a Tony question on that one. He's super familiar with working on all those types of things. Let's see. Most cases,
Well,
I just regurgitate what he says when it comes to that subject.
it's probably not actually been used more than a couple of times anyway.
Most likely not. Let me see here. I'm looking at Musician's Friend right now. Specs. Yes, does have a built-in preamp, which we discussed, or we already found out there. Not for sale anymore.
Probably not. It's like I said, about 2008
I
vintage.
think Sony got out of turntables as
Well, they've
well.
still got one listed, but it's obviously now
Do they?
one of the Bluetooth ones. Looks very similar, but it's now got the
Yeah,
Bluetooth.
that's a new trend right now. A lot of people are, again, to me, that's the big mind buster about vinyl is when you add things like Bluetooth to it or wireless capability to it and all the things to it, then you're kind of defeating the purpose of the analog experience. So
Yeah.
just, but that's the millennial way, right? That's the that's
Probably.
the
I'm
part.
a baby boomer, so
Well,
none of
that's the
that
part that we
applies to me.
don't
But
understand with how they use their technology, but to my devil's advocacy, does that make it better? It's the there was an article that I'd stumbled on, where it had mentioned that in passing. It said, well, if you're hooking this up to computer speakers or headphones or Bluetooth, you're probably not going to notice a fidelity difference between any of the formats because of the distortion that's caused by hooking it into such animals. So, for the purists like Tony's actually hooking it into a really good set of speakers he has at his home, his DJ
yeah.
system. Ours is hooked into a pair of Focal Contas up at the shop with a name integrated, and it sounds amazing. I come down to this. My opinion still stands. And I typically look for information to say, hey, you know what? I'm wrong. This is not the way it is. But I haven't seen anything that's shown me that on the data side. On the mathematical side, I haven't seen anything that's showing me that as far as the data is concerned and what's actually coming into that. I would say it's a neat format. I think the resurgence has more to do with rebellion and hey, let's be different, more than as much as I would love to say that it has to do with audiophile aspect. I think it has more to do with I want to build a classic car with a carburetor, or I want to build a classic car with a fuel injection, and just, and change it or whatever. I want to do something that my dad did, it's kind of more of a bonding thing because
Yeah.
It's more of a conversation piece more than a. It's not convenient. It's not convenient to store. It's not convenient to play. Half the time you forget about it and you're like, oh crap, I have a record playing upstairs or somewhere else in the house, because you're not used to changing things after three songs play or four songs play, so there's. But that's what makes it neat to me. That's what makes it neat to me because it is different. It does force you to unplug and slow down. And as the train just fell off or whatever that was, it does force you to take your time and listen to that format. To me, it's like a bottle of wine, not like a Coke. It's just it's something that's organic that you enjoy in a format that can be enjoyed. I don't see that same sexiness or organic feeling with a CD or a DVD or a Blu-ray, which leads us into that next segue is because a Blu-ray, I don't have to put my needle in the right spot to hear the song I want. I just go to chapter on the screen and I hit play. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of fun, excuse my Tilly. There's a lot of fun formats out there, but to me, vinyl creates that organic, disconnected feeling that I think some people are desperately need, just to feel disconnected and have fun, doing something. So, but that's kind of where I weigh in on it. I mean, I don't know how you weigh in on it.
Well, to me at the moment, it's going to be like an experiment. Let's listen to some things and see. But it's going to be more of a, I'm not trying to listen to music while I'm doing something else to kind of be a background noise and
Yeah.
whatever.
It
It's going to
sounds
be a,
like you've got a two-channel system brewing.
I just want to try sitting down, putting something on, and actually relax, and just all I'm doing is listening to that music. Does that make sense?
So, yeah, so what I would do in your situation is I would either, in your case, I would get tower speakers because bookshelves are going to get manipulated and knocked off. But in your situation, I would get some sort of two-channel speaker setup with just a simple integrated amplifier and hook your turntable directly into that. And you can do just that. You know, it's not, you're not having to say, Alexa, play this. You're not having
Right.
to look it into Sonos or Wim Pro or whatever. And you're not, did she probably woke up because she heard her name.
Well,
But
I've got umpteen receivers up in the attic.
yeah, exactly. And that would
And
be perfect.
I've actually got two pairs of really nice looking, sounding, kind of what you might call bookshelf speakers that I don't know, even remember what brand they are, but I actually use them for an outdoor thing, just to play music in the backyard
Yeah.
kind of thing. But although I haven't done that for a few years, so I need to maybe just drag those out and a receiver and an old, I've got a couple of old Sonys up there that I could just plug it all together and see what happens.
Okay, so I have a question for you. So